What began with a war of words ended with White allegedly stabbing Schellinger in the back. Schellinger died shortly after at Jefferson Hospital and around 4 years.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yakov.
When this first broke, we heard that this was a racial situation. We didn't have that information, but now we have it.
If you've been following along with this story from back in July, you've probably heard it framed one of two ways. People on either side of this issue see Sean Schellinger as either a racist or a martyr, Michael White as a criminal or a victim acting in self-defense. But the reality is much more nuanced. It's impossible to know what was said before that fatal moment, but in any deadly interaction between a black man and a white man, race will always be a part of the conversation. On this episode, Barbara Laker and Wendy Ruderman of the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News walk us through the lives of these two men, one white, raised in a Philadelphia suburb with money and second chances, and one black, surrounded by poverty which his hard work could not help him escape. And we try to understand why these two paths crossed the way they did. Today's episode, Collision in Rittenhouse Square. So Michael White was a bike courier, and he'd been working that day. Just describe the day for me.
He was delivering food. At that point, he was working for three different companies delivering food to people at all hours of day or night. And he was in Rittenhouse Square, which is like the kind of the heart of, you know, wealth in Philadelphia among a lot of people who were having fun in restaurants and after work dinner drinks.
On the night of July 12, 2018, Sean Schellinger was just one of the many outdoor diners at Rittenhouse Square. The evening was warm, and the energy, according to witnesses, was pleasant, even celebratory.
The day before this had happened, he had closed a big investment deal that he was extremely excited about.
We should also note that Sean had been drinking since about 3 p.m., moving through a couple of restaurants in the area.
The medical examiner report showed that he was above twice the legal limit, and that he was intoxicated that night.
Around 11 at night, after drinking for hours, Sean and his friends decided to call it a night. They walked back to their car, which was parked illegally in the narrow alley of Chancellor Street. Not surprising for a summer night in Philly, traffic was bad. But adding to the frustration was the fact that there was a car stopped in front of the one Schellinger's friend was driving, blocking them in.
The driver of the car told the driver of this blocked car to tell him to move. He rolled down the window and told him to move, and because they couldn't get out. He did not move. The driver was outside the car, and then Sean got out of the car and was telling the driver, like, to move. At that point, Michael came up onto Chancellor Street on his red bicycle delivering Popeye's chicken, and what we don't know exactly is the words that were said between Michael and Sean when Sean was talking to this other driver. But one statement we did hear was Michael say, "Why do you have to be such a tough guy?"
Sean then turns to Michael, who's gotten off his bike. Michael unzips his backpack and takes out a knife.
It's a 7-inch blade with a 5-inch handle, so it's a big knife.
They continue to argue. Then Sean charges Michael, grabs him around the waist. He lifts him in the air, and then
Michael stabs Sean in the back. Sean ends up on his stomach, and Michael then goes over to Sean and rips the knife out of his back and runs and leaves the scene.
The knife had hit Sean's aorta, and he was pronounced dead shortly thereafter. The next day, Michael turned himself in to police. So tell me about where Sean comes from and about his background.
So Sean, his mother had him when she was only 17 years old, single mother. The father didn't stay in the picture very long. And she was also very ambitious and very hard on herself and put this work ethic in her son, a very strong work ethic. And she basically rose up to become quite successful. And so Sean's life took a turn as his mother became more successful into a much more upper class, a really big you know, beautiful house with a big lawn, and their house was the house everybody hung out at.
She was an executive at Merck. Was that where she was for a lot of her career?
Yeah, she rose to be like the president of a Merck subsidiary. Mm-hmm. And then she also married what turned out to be Sean's wrestling coach. And he was a coach and teacher who also rose up, and he became principal at Radnor High School. So he had a stable childhood, even though, like, his mom had him at 17. She gave him a very stable, loving childhood.
Sean was a gifted athlete and excelled at sports throughout his youth. But it was his time at Penn State that marked a darker chapter in Sean's life.
He was drinking. He got into his mom's Mustang that he had at Penn State, and he crashed the Mustang. And so he was drunk, and so he called a friend, and they came up with this really stupid idea to rob a drug dealer's house for cash so Sean could get the car fixed.
They break in to the wrong house. The police show up and arrest Sean on the spot.
And charged him with burglary and trespass and a bunch of other charges, felony charges.
Okay, and what was he sentenced to?
He had to serve about a month in county jail. And his mom went up there and paid a $5,000 bail to get him out.
This wasn't the only time Sean was charged with a crime, though it was the most serious. Most involved Sean being drunk.
Does it seem like there were a lot of warning signs in his childhood, in his upbringing, that he would have those kinds of run-ins later and eventually this run-in in Rittenhouse Square?
Well, we talked to a lot of his friends and relatives, and so he was extremely generous. He would stop all the time to give like large amounts of money to the homeless, and not only give money, but sit down and talk to them and hear their whole story. He was extremely generous with his friends, and everyone loved being around him. It seemed that from what we could tell from his criminal background, that when he got in trouble, it was around alcohol.
Tell me a little bit about Michael. Where did he grow up?
Well, he had a completely different, almost opposite background. He grew up in Point Breeze, in a poor section of Point Breeze. He grew up with a dad who was extremely abusive, and neighbors would hear him yelling at the kids. Michael has two older brothers. One's autistic and one has developmental delays. And he was the youngest of those three.
To say that Michael's father was abusive is putting it mildly. He would eventually go to prison for raping his daughter, Michael's half-sister, while Michael was living in the house.
And Michael's father was sent away to prison for up to 40 years for this. And then his mom, after the dad went to prison, felt overwhelmed, got very depressed. She got evicted from that house in Point Breeze and moved to a house in Kingsessing. And the house has like broken windows outside. And she, according to other relatives, and she talked to me briefly, but according to other relatives, she felt like because Michael wasn't handicapped and very smart that he could kind of figure it out on his own. And she didn't have enough money sometimes for food and pay the bills. So yeah. The lights would get turned out. Michael would have to work hard to get money to put food on the table for himself and his brothers.
Michael did well in school and coincidentally also played football. He loved music and wrote raps.
Got agendas to complete, can't waste no time. No. And I ain't settling for less, I need every dime.
And though he had little support from his family, he aspired to go to college.
He didn't have enough money to go to college. He started a GoFundMe page to try to raise some money.
So Michael did go on to college, right?
Yes.
For a little while.
He went there for a year, and he majored in sociology, but he had to drop out because he ran out of money. So he had to drop out and come home to Philadelphia. And from there, you could tell from his writings and his poetry and what he put on Instagram that he was discouraged by that. Like, he really wanted to stay in college. And so he started doing, like, he worked in restaurants like Marathon Grill as a cashier. He worked in several restaurants and worked for other delivery companies like Uber Eats to deliver food to people at all hours of day and night.
The DA is Larry Krasner. Larry Krasner has promised and kind of moved towards, I think, a lot of criminal justice reforms.
A movement for criminal justice reform that has swept Philadelphia.
How is he regarding this case?
So this was really the first kind of a test case for him, for his sort of progressive agenda and progressive thinking on reforming the criminal justice system. He looked at all the circumstances. He looked at the fact that, yeah, Michael ran, but then there was a mitigating circumstance in which he turned himself in. So, like, he had to weigh all of this, and he determined that it wasn't a first degree wasn't going to be winnable and wasn't. It wasn't a first degree, in his opinion. It wasn't first degree, so he reduced it to third degree, and then that opened the door for bail. And Larry Krasner had campaigned on a platform that bail was going to be equitable, that it wasn't just going to be accessible to people with money and means, that bail should be something realistic that all people, regardless of their economic level, can achieve, that it's actually a real thing.
Sean and Michael came from very different places, but Wendy and Barbara found they had a lot in common, may have even been friends under different circumstances. They were both smart, ambitious, athletic, and had a strong work ethic. Sean was abandoned by his biological father. Michael's father was extremely abusive. And Wendy and Barbara say when the stabbing happened over the summer, people saw race as a motivating factor. But they're skeptical.
From the minute it happened, people made assumptions and conclusions about what happened on Chancellor Street, not knowing anything about these two men and what happened that night. So I think you would hear rumblings from people saying, oh, well, Sean must have been this entitled white rich guy who said something racist to Michael. And we don't have one person saying that that's who Sean is and that's what happened. And at the same token, for Michael, I think nobody knew his background and what drove him and how determined he was.
You know, for Michael, he actually did get involved in the situation that was sort of winding down. Who knows why? Like, that's a mystery. What was it that motivated him to get involved and say, you know, why do you have to be such a tough guy and sort of confront Sean? And he took out the knife. He could have walked away. He could have just said, I'm out of here. And then for Sean's side, you know, it's Philadelphia. It's a traffic incident. You know, people question why he got out of the car in the first place. They probably weren't going to go anywhere because the traffic was all backed up on 17th Street. So even if that car hadn't been blocking them, they weren't going to get anywhere quick at that hour in Rittenhouse. For Michael, you know, he had watched two of his close friends shot and killed to gun violence. And he was very, in his writings, articulate about wanting people to put down the guns and stop the violence, which was, there's a certain amount of cruel irony there that he writes about, we got to put the guns down and stop killing each other. At just days before this incident happened in Rittenhouse Square.
Wendy, Barbara, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
That's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Annette John Hall. You may have an opinion on this case. If so, we'd love to hear it. Reach out on Twitter. I'm at Shai Ben Yaakov. Or reach out to @AnnetteJH. If you like the show, subscribe at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Shai Ben Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.